全球趋势、产业发展、政府政策还是时事议题，你想听的都在安永 Easy Talk， 陪你轻松面对企业大小事。
各位听众大家好，欢迎来到安永 Easy Talk， 我是安永联合会计师事务所国际级并购重组税务咨询服务的执行总监冯伟琪 Jeremy。
各位听众朋友大家好，我是税务服务部营运长刘慧文 Heidi。 今天我们有一位远从美国来的宾客，安永美国国际及并购重组税务咨询服务的合伙人 Jason Yan。 今天我们要和大家聊聊目前美台快速双重税收减免法案的进度和影响，也就是 US-Taiwan Expedited Double Tax Relief Act。
大家好，我是 Jason Yan。
Jeremy， 我想在开始之前，我们请 Jason 先用中文介绍一下他自己，因为接下来的讨论 Jason 可能需要用英文才能解释得更贴切更清楚。
没问题，大家好，我是 Jason Yan， 我是从美国 Washington DC 我们的 EY National Tax Office 来的，很高兴来到台湾。
谢谢 Jason 的介绍。听众朋友，今天真的机会难得，能够邀请对美国税务法令这么熟悉的台湾人哦，一定要好好珍惜这个机会。我们今天准备了一些问题和 Jason 讨论。
对，其实当初我在看台美之间租税协定或是现在美台快速双重税收减免的法案进展的时候，和很多企业界朋友一样，我们都认为不会那么快，但现在看好像随时都有通过签署的可能性。 So Jason, what do you think? Was the progress a surprise to you from the draft proposal first released in July 2023to the House of Representatives pass the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act of 2024, which included the Taiwan Act on January 31st this year. The entire process is just 7 months. Just so that our audience can better understand the progress, what are the remaining steps that must be completed before the Act can become effective?
Thank you, Heidi. Yes, it certainly did come as a surprise to me. The Taiwan agreement had been discussed for many, many years, and then it happened very quickly, as you just described. Normally, it is very difficult to get support in Congress for any tax measure in today's very polarized political environment. In the case of tax treaties, normally it takes many, many years for tax treaties to be negotiated and then agreed upon and then approved by Congress. I was very surprised at how quickly it moved.
Sure.
Now, where are we right now? The bill has been passed by the House of Representatives, which is one house of our Congress in the United States, but it needs to also pass the United States Senate. I think there is very strong bipartisan support to have the bill passed in the Senate. However, currently it is also being combined with numerous other tax measures, which are more controversial, and that is delaying the progress of the bill. If any elements of the bill are modified, including some of the elements that do not relate to Taiwan, then the bill would need to go back to the House of Representatives to be approved again. I'm hopeful that in March, the 2-US-Taiwan agreement will be approved. If not, we may have to wait several months because the legislator in Congress will pause most of its legislative activity as we prepare for the 2024 presidential election in November.
所以 Jason 的意思是，在当前政治环境下，任何的租税措施呢都难以获得两党支持了。因此，这法案快速的进展真是令我们感到意外的哈。但听众朋友也要了解，虽然现在这个法案已经在众议院通过了。共和党跟民主党这两党也已同意在参议院通过这个法案，但是因为这个法案呢，它与其他更具争议性的租税措施呢捆绑在一起，那这个会使得立法速度会受影响。那如果不能在今年三月完成剩余立法程序呢，可能就要等到2024年后完成立法，因为在美国年底大选前呢，国会通常是不太运作的。
了解。好，那所以感觉目前法案本身是没有太多的障碍。 OK Jason, so my next question 是 A94A 这个 Act 和租税协定它的主要差异是什么，那它的优劣又是什么，这个是我们常听到客户在询问的。 So what is the difference between the Act versus a treaty? I understand the legislative process is different, but what are other differences our audience should be aware of? For example, when I looked at the act, I saw the reduction and withholding tax rates from 30% to 10% in many cases. I also saw PE discussion that provides some criteria for tax exemption on earning business profit in the U.S. But it seems to me a tax treaty has an advantage over the Act that its coverage is wider. What are the advantages that the Act has over a tax treaty in your opinion?
Yes, this approach of enacting a tax code provision in our law under Section 894 capital A is very unique. It has not been done before in the United States, and it's being done due to the unusual political circumstances between U.S. and Taiwan. However, the substantive tax provisions in Section 894 capital A generally track very closely to what we would normally expect to see in a tax treaty, such as what you mentioned, the withholding tax rates and the article on permanent establishment. But there are a few things that would normally be in a treaty that we don't see in the bill. For example, an agreement on resolving disputes under mutual agreement procedures or provisions for information exchange. However, the bill does provide the authority for the president and the Treasury Department to negotiate an additional agreement with Taiwan, and it's possible that that agreement will include some of these other provisions that we would normally expect to see in a treaty. There are some other differences in the process, as you mentioned. Tax code provision can only be repealed or amended by Congress. On the other hand, a tax treaty normally can be unilaterally terminated by the president, although this is extremely rare. Well, we did see it in the context of the U.S.-Hungary treaty, but normally the United States would not terminate any tax treaties. The other thing that is unusual about this provision is that we expect that Treasury will issue regulations to interpret and administer Section 894 capital A, and the code provision actually provides some authority for Treasury to do that. Whereas typically with a tax treaty, we would not see the Treasury Department issue any regulations to interpret a tax treaty.
所以说 894A 呢是一个非常特殊的税务法规，美国过去从未这样做过，将双边租税协定条款非常相似的去把它放在单边的税法里面。那我听刚才 Jason 这样说，我会觉得对听众朋友来说啦，最重要的是相互协议程序啊，或者是资讯交换，目前只有在一般租税协定中，而并不在现在我们看到的美台快速双重税收减免法案里面。那 Jason 另外一个相关的问题啊，我们常被企业朋友问到啊，这等到这个法令通过后及生效后，那我们填表格的时候可以把 894A 这个法条当作是 treaty 吗？ For example, many Taiwanese clients are requested to fill out WABNE when they do business with their US customers. And within WABNE, there's a part asking for additional information to claim tax treaty benefits. Can they fill that part out once the act is enacted and becomes effective?
Yes, I would expect that once the bill is effective, the IRS will work quickly to update the form. And even before they've updated the form, I would expect that maybe some guidance would be provided to confirm that the form can be used to claim treaty benefits. And in the United States, it is possible to claim treaty benefits to reduce the withholding tax imposed on withholding agents immediately, rather than having to file for a refund. So I do expect that that would be effective immediately.
Okay, that's good to know. Finally, let me ask you this, Jason. What are the three tax benefits you think the Act can provide to our Taiwanese clients?
Well, that's many questions you've had for me. So let me ask you first, what do you think those three benefits are?
Okay, sure. So right now, we have not seen a Taiwanese version of the 894-8 Act. So my comments are for U.S. companies and individuals. The first benefit is for that U.S. companies which want to have warehouses in Taiwan to store the purchased goods for the subsequent delivery, they may do so without triggering Taiwan income tax. You know, Taiwan is a high-tech island and it manufactures important parts and all kinds of high-tech products. So having a place in Taiwan to store the purchased goods for subsequent delivery is very important in designing the supply chain. I think it is fair to say that without the act, there is a risk for storing the goods for the later customer delivery, no matter how low the tax rate is. Okay, so that's one. The second benefit is that for these companies, U.S. companies, which want to license and receive royalties from Taiwan, they will be able to do so directly without going through sublicensing using some European countries. Since the withholding tax rate is reduced to 10%, in line with other Taiwan signed tax treaties, the same applies to the holding structure if the act passes. U.S. companies can directly hold Taiwan subsidiaries without suffering 21% dividend withholding tax, but 10% instead. And they can do so without using other countries as intermediate owner that has signed tax treaty with Taiwan. Pillar 2, 支柱二, is what we'll be discussing more next time. But I think I'll say here that Pillar 2 will bring some changes to corporate holding structure to some extent. And having one additional option is better. And my third benefit is quite important, Jason. So U.S. individuals like Jason can come to Taiwan more frequently and enjoy the nice food here without triggering Taiwan PE for their home employers. I know you won't be signing contracts for engagement letters in Taiwan, right? So now it's your turn for the potential benefits for Taiwan-based clients.
Thank you, Heidi. And I can definitely attest that coming to Taiwan for the wonderful food is a great reason to come.
Yep.
So focusing from the perspective of Taiwanese clients investing in the U.S., I think it's very similar benefits. Certainly the reduced withholding tax from the normal rate of 30% on interest, rents, royalties, and services down to 10% or 15% in some cases is quite significant and puts it more in line with the approach with other jurisdictions that have tax treaties than when those companies invest in the U.S. Similarly, many Taiwanese companies distribute their products in the U.S. We have a very large customer base and have to face risk of taxation under our effectively connected income rules. Well, once the treaty is in place, that threshold will be significantly higher since in order to have a permanent establishment, you need significantly more activities than you would under existing domestic law in the U.S. And finally, I'd say that the enactment of the U.S.-Taiwan agreement will have, I think, a very positive impact for U.S.-Taiwanese business ties and investment. It will improve the business confidence. It will improve the overall environment and hopefully lead to more investment in both directions between the U.S. and Taiwan.
That's very good, Jason. Thank you.
非常谢谢 Jason 和 Heidi 的分享。在今天这集 Podcast 中呢， Heidi 和 Jason 最后有和我们特别分析美台快速双重税收减免法案可能带给我们的优惠哦。综合你们所说的呢，我想无论是台湾啊，或者是美国公司在法案生效后，它无论是在控股架构上，或者是商业模式上等，我们都可以享受到法案所带来的选择性或者是弹性。如同刚才 Heidi 提到的 Pillar 2 支柱二，或者是全球最低税负会带来改变、啊、将国际税的规则呢变得更加的复杂，规划也变得很复杂。那企业需要有像这样的法案所带来的选择性或者是弹性来做应对嘛？那我们安永呢也会和企业朋友一起利用改变来寻找最好的税务策略。再次谢谢 Jason 和 Heidi 今天带来的分享，也谢谢各位听众朋友的收听。安永 Easy Talk， 我们下次再见，
拜拜，谢谢，
谢谢。